with me to a passage of scripture that Scott preached from 25 years ago. I did not realize that to be true until yesterday during the celebration when Howard mentioned his first sermon. I don't know how he remembered that. Two things that are a sign of old age, and one is forgetfulness, and I can't remember what the other one is. I'm amazed at some people's memory. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, Paul said to the church at Philippi, beginning with verse 1, I'd like to share with you, down through verse 16. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised in the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, or in the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That is, though I had already attained, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. In the year 1675, a rebel Baptist preacher named John Bunyan wrote a book that told of the struggle of the character named Christian in his pilgrimage from this world to the celestial city. This little book, Pilgrim's Progress, became one of the most popular books ever written. The story has for so long been popular because of the striking sense of reality that Pilgrim's Progress brings to our life. The story has for so long been very, very inspirational, even in my life. The Christian life is truly a journey, Scott. It's truly a journey. There's a beginning. There's the weariness of the travel. then there's the final ending. Our attentions are focused on Philippians 3, 1 through 16. Paul the apostle told again the journey of the Christian life. These ancient words have a profound meaning for us, and I think especially as attention has been drawn to the 25 years of faithful service that you, the church, are celebrating in the life of your pastor and his dear wife through the faithfulness of God working through him and through you to bring us to this day. Yeah, I think Paul would intend for us to first hear this. We who are Christians have already begun the journey. For Paul, the journey began, as you well remember, on that fateful trip that he made to Damascus. His dramatic experience, however, was still a beginning. It was still a beginning. The more is yet to come. I like to think of the best is yet to come. Few of us have had a conversion experience quite so grand and so magnificent as that bright light shone from heaven, blinded Paul, Saul of Tarsus became Paul the apostle, the militant church planter. Fantastic ministry throughout his years. Few of us have experienced such a thing. I well remember when a 7-year-old boy told me, "Dad, I want to become a Christian." We prayed. I shared with him the plan of salvation. I saw him ask Christ to come into his heart. And then we continued our revival. Dr. C.L. Culpepper was preaching that revival, Scott. Dr. Culpepper was one of our profound missionaries to China. He ministered through the great Shantung revivals. He shared with our revival staff and me during the week of some of the great experiences during the Shantung revival as God was preparing China for the leaving of Chiang Kai-shek and the coming of communism and the closed door into China for the Christian witness. But oh, how it grew. He shared how in some communities as large as 6,000 population, every house had believers. Every family throughout that province. Revival that lasted 6 weeks, 24/7. Can you imagine? There were some outstanding experiences that we probed his memory. I remember during that revival when Scott made his profession of faith, Dr. Culpepper said, "You know, I came back in the 1940s, 1935s, telling people about what happened in China. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it." He said, "Now I've waited all these years. And there's a generation of young preachers who are questioning me about the profound moving of the Holy Spirit to bring salvation in a country that was dark. Cannot imagine how difficult labor for 20 years, for 2-3 professions of faith, and all of a sudden, revival breaks out. And they're saved by the thousands." This not only happened where Dr. Culpepper was ministering, but all through that part of China, as God continued to prepare his people. But you know, in the midst of that revival, God was preparing a little boy for the years that lay ahead. Now, I don't imagine his salvation experience brought much attention. I think probably it was brought to my mind that, you know, we had a revival. We had a great preacher. But we only had one little boy saved. I'd like to have those dudes sitting on the front row right now. Yesterday, I told him, I said, it'd be a whole lot different, your reaction, if that one little boy was yours. But that's okay. God's doing his work. And God has continued to do his work. What does it mean to have begun the journey? Paul gives us the word of instruction, and I like your NIV translation. And so I share with you that. In verse 12, Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. The notion is that in the conversion, the hand of God is laid upon us. Here is the wonder of being born again. Here is the wonder of conversion. Because he has laid his hand on us, we can never be the same. You began a journey with Christ. You began a journey with Christ. You began a journey with Christ when he laid his hand upon you. Which brings us to the second word that Paul would have us to hear from the scripture. And that is, the journey never ends in this life. We have to admit, along with Paul, we're not perfect. I admit that I'm not perfect. There are many things that I didn't do right as your dad. And there are many things that I have not done right as a pastor of a church. I look back over 58 years in the ministry, if I make it to March the 25th, and I think, Lord, how in the world could you have accomplished what you have accomplished through human flesh so weak and so beset with this world? A lot of mistakes. But what does Paul say? Press on. Press on. Press on. Pressing on means two things. First, it means forgetting what's behind. Paul had much to forget. If ever he was a powerful force in the gospel, he had to forget some things in the past. I say, to become the Christian God intends us to be, we need to develop a good forgettery. Forget those things which are behind. This was the challenge. Forget not only those bad things that were behind, like persecuting the church, approval to the stoning of Stephen, on and on, etc., etc., that Paul was involved in during the years before that Damascus experience. But you know, he had to also forget some good things that lay behind. He had to forget those things of which he could boast. And he tells us what it is in verses 5 and 6. If you'll notice in your scripture, circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, how many of them would like to have had that kind of inheritance. That kind of legacy. A Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. You see, he had to forget some other things, good things. These things he counted but loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. But what of the things of the present life? Paul, what about today? Did he have anything that he too would have to forget? Oh, yes. As great as a man as Paul could be, he could not rest on his laurels. As great as the accomplishments of the last 25 years of your ministry, there is yet much to be done. For you the church, for you, Scott, for each and every one of us, every day brings its challenges. I pray that we'll never lose the fire burning for your cause, Lord, in a world that desperately needs your witness. Did he have anything that he too would have to forget? Great man. Great man. The church is never to be thought of, though, friends, as a group of people who at one time in their past have a great experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and have now signed up to live the rest of our lives on those memories. No, no, not at all. There is much to forget. And secondly, Paul says, not only do you need to forget those things which are behind, but you need to press on. That means reaching forth to the future. I believe Paul had in mind the race as he was reaching for, as he had witnessed those racers as they, running those long races, reached for the finish line. Still pressing on, even to the very last finish line. Tired, heavy in their breathing, difficult in putting one foot in front of the other, but still pressing on. If it were not for the tenacity of the spirit, the desire to finish the course, they wouldn't cross the finish line. They would have stopped and fell over. Scott, we're running a long race. It's a long run. I used to enjoy running until I got all these new hinges. It shuts the running down. Probably what brought the hinges on. And that's okay. I'm still pressing on, even as feeble as we possibly can. It is a long race. I'll tell you, if we reach forth and never give up, eventually we'll fall across that finish line. You see, our life is a journey. It has a beginning. It has a continued travel. And it has an ending. What is our destination? Paul shows us in the scripture. I press on, he said, verse 14, toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here's our goal. It makes no difference where we are and what state we're in. We're to be in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's our goal. It's forever our goal. Nothing can quite be so significant as being a Christian, as knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. To attain such a relationship with Christ surely is our ultimate goal. It's clear to Paul when he stated his ultimate desire in verses 10 and 11 of this third chapter of Philippians. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of suffering in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul wanted to know Christ, but he was aware that such a relationship comes in only one way. And that relationship is going to come through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, we serve not a dead Christ, one who lived but now is a dim memory in the shades of history as we go back to that experience as a 7-year-old boy. No, that wasn't the end. That was but the beginning. We serve a Christ who is alive, both now and forever. Oh, I tell you, we serve a Christ who is not dead. He's not in the grave. Death could not keep him down. He is alive today. I remember once standing before a family in a funeral home in St. Louis. And I was doing what the pastor does in having a memorial service for a dear lady. I did not know the person. John Hardy just called me and asked me if I would mind to do this service. They wanted a Baptist preacher. He always told me, he said, if they didn't want much of a preacher, I'd just call you. I was his pastor. If they didn't want any preacher at all, I'd just do it myself. And so I told him, John, thank you. I'll be glad to do the service. And so I was doing the usual, and then I made the statement, do you mean to tell me that Christ is alive, coming from the congregation after I had told them how alive Jesus was? Oh, you're talking about waking up a group of people. You woke us up real well this morning, Lee. Well, let me tell you, somebody standing up in a service and shouting in your face, and for the whole congregation, I saw John Hardy jerk the back door open and others coming in. They didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't either. And I just said, ma'am, thank you. Now, where I was standing was behind a little way behind the casket, behind the people. And I had to go out a door and come around in the front. And I walked over to her and I told her, I am so glad you asked that question, whether Jesus is alive or not. Thank you. And let me tell you, Jesus to me is more alive than you are. And I see you and I can touch you. Yes, ma'am. I mean to tell you that Jesus is alive to help you in your comforts, alive to help you in your adjustments. Oh, I'm so grateful that my Savior is alive. The power of His resurrection is still felt in every prayer we pray, in every song we sing, in every sermon we preach. He is alive and in us today. It is so good for the believer to look forward to the forever. Eternity, dear friends, is forever. It holds no threat for God's people. Never has. Instead, it's the very thought of eternity with Christ after the resurrection is a comfort. Just as going to sleep is healthy and good for us, and we wake up for a new day refreshed. And so the Christian goes to sleep in death and will be raised in resurrection to a brighter day, to still walk in that blessed tomorrow with a living Jesus Christ. It's madness for those who are out of Christ to look on. You who are not Christians would do better to look back, for your best days are past and passing. You can look on, but to what? You have no future. Soon it'll be winter. Old age will come. It'll claim its own. Death will finally come. But let me tell you, without Jesus Christ, there's no spring. There's no new life. There's no blessed resurrection morning. No hope. No hope. So what are we to do? The journey into forever will never be complete until you first began. You got to have that starting point. And once the journey is begun, then comes the exciting adventure. You imagine the privilege of pastoring one church for 25 years. Boy, it's been a great trip. I've witnessed many of them. How many times have we driven here to worship with you and Scott and Kathy and the boys and make friends that have been friends forever. Close through the years. No, you can't end a journey if you don't start it. And then, of course, you never complete it till you get started. And once the journey's begun, then comes the exciting adventure, the walk of faith, by sight, not by sight, but by faith, by trust. I don't know what holds the future, but I know who holds it. And all of us are aware of that. And so I challenge you, are you ready to begin the journey into forever? If you're not ready, my friend, you need to do what needs to be done to prepare. I recommend you this church, great place to serve the Lord. I recommend to you the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be a source of comfort and strength through this journey and even into the resurrection. And I pray for you as you walk this trip. Scott.
As always, we want you to know that we stand ready to help. You've heard the gospel presented with clarity that is beyond any additional explanation or need. If you didn't get it today, you probably never will. Are you ready? If you're not, or you're not sure, you need to come talk to us. Let us help. Let us pray with you. We want you to know the peace and the assurance, the confidence and the strength that comes from walking this journey together. Let us be the church to share that journey with you. Let us be a part of your life, and we'll celebrate together what God is doing. And then as we face the future, we do so not with fear, but with hope, with promise, with assurance. So if there's a decision you need to make, a question you need to ask, a concern you need to share, you come find me when we're done, and I'll be glad to help. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Before I do, I want to say just how much I appreciate Dad bringing this message. I know you do as well. And I'd say he's still got it, doesn't he? That bodes well for me. I might get that second 25. When I introduced the praise team, I introduced all of the ones who are here and focused kind of on Lee because he's not normally here, and really Lee's never been a part of our church family, except to the degree that he's married to Casey. I failed to mention Justin Falloon because Justin's always been here, even though he's not now. In our heads, he still is, but Justin took the weekend off. He serves as worship pastor for Heartland Baptist Church in St. Louis, and more importantly, he brought Aaron and his new daughter. And so if you've not seen the baby, you need to do that. And she is gorgeous. And so we appreciate that so much. You know, when I watched yesterday and then again today, these guys that, you know, I can go back and remember when they were children. I can remember when Justin Falloon was taking piano lessons from Kathy in our house. And I can remember Kathy saying to him, "No, you have to practice. No, you have to practice. No, I won't play it for you because then you'll just listen to it and you'll repeat it. You have to learn the notes. I can remember her saying that, and I would get up and I would leave because I didn't want to listen to it. And now look at him. So what an awesome thing. So I appreciate them taking the weekend from their ministries and their churches to be here and to share with us. I appreciate Dad coming back. He's already been here just a few weeks ago, but that was for a different reason. He came to see Caleb. And so this time he came back to see Caleb again. So we're excited though. Thank you. God bless you. Let's stand together. Let me lead us in prayer.